This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Before I start with what's on the screen there, I want to ask you, how many of you go on your knees when you pray at home? You don't do it. I can tell you there's much value in that. And I want to challenge you to go on your knees with me now. And we just have a quick prayer to God. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time we can spend with you. And we pray that you will be with us and you will be here and that we will hear your voice. It's all about you. And keep us humble before you. Amen. I injured my knees about, how many months ago? 6 months ago. And it's not easy to go on my knees, I can promise you that. But every time I go on my knees, I realize that's the way it should be, because that's a way to show God and just to become humble before God. We often, I think, we live in an age where people focus on Jesus, our friend, and all of that, but they forget Jesus is our God, our Savior. The Almighty, the one that needs all our respect. So, if you look at that slide, my question, it's a statement, be wise. And I've got a couple of pictures there. Three of them are quite well known, the other one is not that well known. He's got a well-known surname, Washington, but he was not one of the well-known ones. But he was also reckoned as a wise person. Who of you know about Confucius? Confucius in the Eastern world is a very wise, he was a very wise man, very wise. But if we look at his teachings, and you can go and Google it, there's a lot of his teaching also available on the internet. I think his name basically shows to you what he is, confused. His teachings from a Christian perspective is really confusing. It's, well, not confusing. It shows that he was confused because they're looking at wisdom from the world, wisdom from, and I want to say that as well. If you look at the other one, Einstein. Einstein wasn't reckoned as a really wise person, but a very clever person, very intelligent. And a lot of people actually confuses wisdom with intelligence or clever, academic clever people, or maybe in some kind of area, it might be in business, you're clever or whatever. But we confuse that with wisdom. The question is today that I want to ask is, what do we, every one of us, me, you, see as wisdom? What is real wisdom? And I want to use the words of somebody I think all of us know, John Bevere. I'm going to read that to you. Were you ever sure of something only later to find out you were wrong? It can be vexing. As a typical male, I'm often sure of the route, the instructions, the procedure, the formula, or the method, only to discover I'm in the wrong neighborhood or that the project, assembly, or formula must be started again, this time following the instructions. It's frustrating. I've wasted gas, time, resources, or money. I was sure I know, or I knew, but in reality, I didn't. That's John Bevere. I think most of us know who John Bevere is. But this is only a part of what he said. After this, he said, I don't want this to happen with me in terms of eternity. And we all know that you get to the door of heaven one day, all of us will get there, and God will tell some people, I don't know you. Why? Now, this is the foreword to his book, Driven by Eternity. Has everybody read that book? But if you go to the next slide, you will see there are two entities. Can you see them? You can't. Because you can only see one. But if you go to the next slide, then now you can see two. The one that we saw before is visible. That's eternity. It's forever. The time we spend on earth is maybe 100 years, maybe 120, maybe two, maybe some children die before they get born. And John Bevere, one of the things that he said is, are we driven by eternity or are we driven by what we see around us? And what's the difference between the eternity and what we see here? I said, my title can be actually many things. It can be reality. What is the actual reality? If you think about eternity, the time on earth is real, yes. It's part of the reality. It's not the reality. And that is where we get caught on. And the whole world actually suffers from that, if I can call it that. So my question today with us, and I want to start with the biblical definition of wisdom. Well, how does wisdom fit into all of this? Wisdom is what makes us know what to believe. And let's look at the biblical definition. And I've only taken out three verses here. That one is a little bit messed up, but I think you can read it. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins, and knowing holiness demonstrates understanding. Hebrews 12, verse 28 actually explains to us what the fear of the Lord means. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And then just the verse that I picked up in all of them is, don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Real wisdom is to know God. Is to understand what God wants us to do, how to act, what to do. And if we look at the following, the first scripture I want to read, it's the letter from Paul to Corinthians 1. It's from verse 18. If you look in your Bibles, most translations will call it Christ, the wisdom and power of God. That's the heading. How many different versions of the Bible do we have? Are there in the world, do you think? This is a trick question. There's only one. How many translations do we have? We have plenty of translations. If you look, if you search for the word wisdom, it depends what translation you're going to use, how many verses you're going to find. It's around 200 verses in the Bible, depending which translation you're going to use. The one I have here is the English Standard Version. And I'm going to read from verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Didn't we sing that this morning? We did. You can have all this world. Give us Jesus. That was the last song. Am I right? The world will see whatever we believe as folly, as false, as nonsense, as foolish. And this is what this scripture says, and this is what we sang this morning. Isn't it wonderful how God guides the worship people to actually sing the things that comes out in the sermon? It's wonderful. That's how God works and encourages us. To me, it's really encouraging to see that. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. That was also on the songs we sang this morning. Do we believe it? If we believe it, we can be seen as wise people. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in God. That is wisdom. That is what Paul said to the Corinthians. Do we believe it? Do we go for it full out? This is life, to know Jesus. That gives us wisdom and that gives us life. The next scripture I want to use, and I'm not going to read everything, I'm just going to take a couple of out of that, is of John. John 14, 15 and 16 was when he spoke to the people, his disciples mostly, and then in chapter 17, Jesus prayed to his Father. And that verses I want to read really slow, and I want you to really listen and take it in. And concentrate. In chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe that, you've got wisdom. I am the true vine, abide in me. You are my friends if you do what I say. Love one another. The world will hate you. That was chapter 15. I'm not going to take anything from chapter 16 and then chapter 17. That is where Jesus talked to his Father. And he said, Jesus, this is not exactly the words, but I took out of that. And Jesus prays, and then he says, it's him, it's me, will give eternal life to everyone the Father gave me. Eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, the one you sent. driven by eternity. Think about eternity. That is reality. That is where we're not heading there. We are there already. What we are now, we're just going over. But we are, what we do here is part of eternity. Eternity was before the world was created, and it's going to be going on after the, well, at the time of the new world. We are living in this time, and we might be here for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. We don't know. Your word is the truth. So let this truth make them completely ours. I write it ours, it's yours. But it's, we know, we will see later why I read ours there. I want all of them to be one with each other, just as I am with you, and you are one with me. I also want them to be one with us. Then the people of this world will believe that you sent me. The love that you have for me will become part of them, and I will be one with them. If we get into that relationship, now the Word of God is a relationship book more than a law book. Do you agree with me? If we read this, and we've said it many times in the past, if there's one book in this world that can change your life, it's the Bible. Just simply by reading it. Spend time with God and your heart will change. I will change. I will get closer to God. I will be in a relationship with God. I will have the fear of God. And how does the fear of God look in my life? I'm just naming a couple of things. And this comes from Scripture. You can go and search for fear of God. Just don't type in fear of God in Google, then you'll find some clothing thing. I didn't know it existed. Did you know? There's a shoe or something called the fear of God or fear of God. I was actually shocked when I see that. I don't know what the history of that is, but it will be quite interesting. But if you go look in the Bible for fear of God, what will happen in my life is I will hate evil. I will hate pride. I will hate arrogance. I will hate perverted mouths. I will hate evil ways, evil according to the Scripture. What will happen in my heart? My heart will become clean, enduring, forever, righteous. Blessed. The person that's also, so this is all Scripture. You can Google, or not Google that, look it up in your whatever version you use, and you'll probably get to the Scriptures where you can find this. If you have the fear of God, you will be a blessed person. You will have a prolonged life. It's a fountain of life. Avoid death. Leads to life. What else will happen? We also talk about that many. All of us know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. We get to that relationship with God that becomes part of my life. It's not like a law that I do it. It's just that because of my relationship with God, my heart changes, and that's the way I act. So may that become the way we act in this life. We all in situations where we have to work or study, most of us are. And you have rules and regulations at this campus or the work or whatever business, and it's difficult. Because the world will come with the worldly wisdom and will say you're foolish to believe these things, to believe that if somebody do, and I'm referring to the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, if somebody do bad to you, do good to that person. If somebody curses you, blesses that person. It's only by the grace of God, and if we keep, and I want to say that, if we go on our knees before God and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit, then we can have that in our life. What is my foundation is my question. What is my focus? Am I wise? And I know, and I'm talking this, I'm sharing this, you know, it was about 2-3 weeks ago when I got this John, and I know that I need to share John 17, and then in this week, I opened the book of John Bevere, and I saw that, and I thought, wow, isn't this amazing to realize that people are, we are all battling with these things. We are battling with relationship, we're battling with work, we're battling with studies, we're battling with so many things, finances in this world. It's hard. We get it from all sides. And I'm thinking of the words that I've heard once, if the tough runs to Jesus or something like that. If we're not tough if we fight it by ourselves. We are tough when we run to Jesus. And then I'm thinking of that graffiti. No matter what the question, the answer is Jesus. Run to Jesus with whatever you have. He's the answer on anything. Doesn't matter what. And that is why the world will tell us we're stupid, we're silly. But we're not. And they'll find it out, unfortunately, too late. Hopefully not too late, but many will. And that is the sad. And that's also what I want to share with you or ask you today is, you know, our church are getting involved in missions. Are we focusing so much on eternity that we want to take people with us? In our daily life, at our work, if we go on an outreach, do we have that attitude that it's all about eternity, it's not about now? Are we taking people with us? Are we encouraging people to meet with Jesus and to have a relationship with Him? Now, what I would like to do is if the guys can make some music again that we just set a couple of minutes and we pray. Pray by yourself. And if there's something specific that you have a need for, we all have that. I've got plenty. I can tell you that. We all know that the world is tough. It's really not easy. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to support each other. Ask God if there's something that you need prayer for, or you see somebody, you can go and share something to somebody. I've once did that too in our small group, and I challenged the people, and I said, come to church and pray to God and ask Him to show you somebody that you can go and share a word with. If we come to church on a Sunday morning, do we pray for the meeting before the time, or are we just coming and sit and relax and listen? Or are we coming to share, to give something, not only worship and sit? So today I want to challenge you. If there's something, I want to ask you to encourage you, not challenge you. Encourage you. If there's anything you or you need prayer for, come to the front. That somebody can pray. There's a lot of people that can pray for you. Somebody will pray for you. And if you know there's somebody that needs a word from you, go to a person and share a word. Encourage people. We need to encourage each other. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have come to set us free, to give us life, to give us hope. And my prayer today is that we will really come before you that we will open our lives to you, that we will seek you in everything we do. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us the way you want us to go. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.